You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
You know, some horror is kind of more arty than other horror. You know what I mean? Like, it gets a little trippy and things like that. And then there's other things that sell themselves as horror that really aren't horror at all. They're pretty much an art film. And I would say She Dies Tomorrow falls under the latter. Now, I don't think that is in and of itself a problem with the movie. If you go into this thinking, hey, I'm going to watch this horror movie, you are in for a huge disappointment. But we are indeed here to talk about Neon's release of She Dies Tomorrow with an impressive cast, certainly, and written, directed, and produced by Amy Simons, who I recognize probably primarily from being the mom in the new Pet Sematary, but she was in a bunch of Joe Swanberg's films, Upstream Color, The Killing, Family Tree, Myth of the American Sleepover, Revenge for Jolly, Alien Covenant. She's got a lot of experience. She wrote, directed, and produced the Girlfriend Experience TV series for Starz. This is only her second feature film to date. She directed Sun Don't Shine in 2012, also starring Caitlin Scheel, who is the lead character of Amy in this, and Kentucker Audley, who briefly appears here but is kind of a third man as her ex-boyfriend. I don't know why this was directed in secret, but according to an article I saw on IndieWire, it was directed in secret. It did not explain. With the paycheck she got from acting in the horror movie Pet Sematary. There's a lot to talk about, I think, and to unpack in this film, and this is, I couldn't blame anyone for either loving or hating this film, because it's going to be one of those abstract reviews that you could see almost any kind of response. So let's see who your contestants today are in Is This Your Kind of Movie? First off, we have Adrian.
What's up, Chris? I don't think this is anybody's kind of movie. I hated this shit.
And then we have Jordan.
Okay, what the fuck did I just watch? Oh, wait. Those are my notes from Wonderland. Hold on. Okay, here are my notes for She Dies Tomorrow. What the fuck did I just watch?
And then we have Julian.
Hello. I wish I would have just watched Requiem for a Dream like this movie wanted me to.
Julian's like, I saw one weird movie. All weird movies are that weird movie.
Come on, man. There's a sequence in this movie where she clearly is injecting drugs and then plays a record. I was like, no one's going to point at that and be like, that's exactly like Requiem for a Dream. Okay, movie.
No, they're not, Julian, because that is not even what I think of when I think of that movie. I actually didn't really think this resembles anything, which is one of the things I kind of liked about it. It took me a while to decide how I felt about it, because once it was clear, okay, this is not going to be a regular narrative film at all. They're clearly going with this is very, very abstract and not supposed to be taken as all this stuff is really happening. Then I was like, I can deal with you on these terms. I just wish you had kind of let me know a little earlier that that's the kind of film we were watching. What we see is Caitlin Scheel as Amy. She's very depressed. She is rolling around on the floor, watching bugs get zapped close up. Listening to the same classical music album over and over and over again, she appears to be over-dramatically being depressed.
Aside from the classical music, that just sounds like any teenager in the summer in Arkansas.
It's over-dramatically sad. Hey, everyone, look at me. I'm sad. And sure enough, when a friend of hers comes over, Jane, played by Jane Addams, who was in Happiness, Wonder Boys, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, she shows up concerned. What's going on? it becomes clear that Amy has had some problems with something. They don't say drug-related, most likely, because they indicate it wasn't alcohol that was a problem before, but it's probably not a good idea for her to be drinking. But she's getting drunk. Amy tells her, I'm going to die tomorrow. I know I'm going to. She doesn't indicate she's going to take her own life. She's like, no, I know that I'm going to die tomorrow. Jane's like, whatever, I'm not going to be held hostage with your bullshit. I'm leaving. So she leaves. Amy continues her day going around hallucinating bright flashing primary color lights, hearing voices. We see a bit of a flashback with this guy we saw briefly at the very beginning of the movie who was screaming and yelling about it being over, presuming a relationship. But we see kind of a meet cute when they first got together. You know, it's a cute sequence that belongs in a totally different movie, it feels like. I did admit I immediately rolled my eyes. She's like, oh, I don't watch television.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I was just like, oh, you're going to be that bitch. Okay.
I don't care if you don't watch television, but anybody who like can't wait to tell you, you're like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
And this is where, for me, the film went from, oh, boy, come on, can we just move this along, to, oh, maybe there is something interesting here, as Jane seems to have been infected with the idea of dying tomorrow. She's listening to the same classical music piece that Amy was listening to, but she sits in her basement looking at slides. For a reason I'm not clear on, microscopic slides, microscopic images are a huge part of the background design
blood
scheme.
Blood slides, she's some sort of doctor blood specialist, I guess?
Well, I mean, they indicate she doesn't have a job.
Yeah, and it sounded like she was just being one of those weird artists, like, nah, this is how I express myself, through a microscope.
It's the same actress that played Mel from Frasier, so I just thought, oh, is this headcanon?
And even by this point, really, it's clear almost everything that's happening in this film is supposed to be very abstract and not supposed to be analyzed through a this-is-the-way-the-real-world-would-be sort of lens. She starts seeing the bright primary lights flashing around her. She gets weird, runs out of the house in her PJs. She shows up to her brother's house, Chris Messina from Sharp Objects, The Mindy Project and 6 Feet Under, where there's a family party that Jane had blown off earlier going on. Kate Asselton from The League and Legion is there, and obviously she and Jane do not like each other. There's another couple who's there as well, Tundri Adebimpe, who is the lead singer of TV on the Radio and star of Jump Tomorrow, and then Jennifer Kim as his girlfriend, who's in Mozart in the Jungle, Search Party, and The Blacklist. So Jane shows up and starts talking this thing about, I'm going to die tomorrow. I know I'm going to die tomorrow. And it becomes clear for sure after that, when everyone there gets infected with this idea as well and starts obsessing that they're going to die tomorrow, that yes, this is a completely abstract film. It's about fatalism. It's about depression. It's about like dealing with serious depression.
I don't know, man. This is the first time I've seen a movie where I thought this could have easily just been a podcast instead. I know trailers lie. I didn't see a trailer for this, but I had heard a certain word associated with this film, and that's existential fear, which to me is one of the scariest things around. It's one of the scariest things you could base a movie on, because it makes you uncomfortable as well as it brings up stuff that you don't really want to think about. There was a movie a couple years ago, which was also not a horror film, but it's called A Ghost Story, which also brought that up, I feel, in an almost better way. I've kind of heard all this stuff, and you're not doing anything interesting with this.
I love this movie on a technical level. I think it is so well directed. Like, I honestly do enjoy the cinematography. And really, the only music we really get, one reoccurring musical piece. And it's something you've heard in, like, a billion other movies, but it honestly really works. I honestly do appreciate this movie a lot for being as so bold as to really just go in hard on these subjects, because yes, it is uncomfortable to talk about. The movie's also pretty well acted. I liked Caitlin Scheel.
There's also, eventually, you also get Olivia Taylor-Dudley, who plays one of the main characters on The Magicians, and Michelle Rodriguez and Josh Lucas. They all have, like, people who later on appear only to basically get infected and have a weird and kind of funny sequence. Adam Wingard, the horror director, writer, has a cameo as a guy who rents Amy a dune buggy. And tries to make out with her unsuccessfully.
He was the first character after, like, a big lull for me of watching the movie that when he came on, I was like, finally, someone is talking like a fucking human. I do agree. I think the movie's beautiful. Reminded me of Eternal Sunshine. It has some technical aspects in there that reminded me of that movie. But the dialogue in this, man, Like, the acting was good, but, like, goddamn. There was nothing that jumped out to me where I was like, wow, that was really interesting what you said. Every time a character talked, I was like, you know, maybe you should just kill yourself. Like, it might be for the best.
Jesus.
I feel bad.
Do you not enjoy Discord about dolphin fucking?
That's so unoriginal.
I can't think of another movie where people talked about dolphin fucking.
You haven't seen Dolphin Fucking 2?
No.
Man, wait till you get the dolphin.
The only other reference I have is that King of the Hill episode.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's tons of TV shows and shit I've heard referenced. Like, oh yeah, dolphins love to rape humans. It's like, okay, what else? So, what else you got?
So, Julian, because they mentioned dolphin fucking and other people have done it, and because someone plays a record and does drugs, and that happened in a movie you saw once, this is just ripping off other things.
No, it just came... There are things about this that it just felt like it was meandering, and to me, it just screamed at the beginning that it was trying to be like that other movie. But even though I do appreciate experimental films, because that's like when I went to college studying film, that's what I loved the most... But I think that shit is hard to pull off, and a lot of this movie, unfortunately, at least to me, I'm willing to take the L on it. It came across as nonsense to me. Like, there are certain things that start happening in this movie where I'm like, okay, what is happening here? And things like that are never made clear to me. And these characters, when they talk to each other, I'm just like, all right, like, what am I supposed to get out of this? I'm getting nothing. Like, I'm just bored.
This movie is entirely dream logic. And I think on that level, you're not supposed to look at it like these are things that real people say to each other, because they're not things that real people say to each other.
That's fair. I didn't think of that.
Even with dream logic, I feel like the overall theme of the movie and what it gets to is just so almost basic that it made me feel the same way I felt while watching King of Staten Island, a completely different movie. What I mean by that is that, okay, this main character, her name is Amy. This kind of just feels like you need to go through a little bit of therapy, and you're making us all go through it as well. Death is scary, and ultimately the theme of this film is you're going to accept it one day, or you're not going to accept it, or you're not going to accept it until you do, but it's happening. And that's fine. That's a good message. It's a realistic message. It still tries to act like it's a horror movie, and it's really not. It's a series of skits, some of them kind of funny, some of them not. It's a neon new existential horror movie. What's not to love about how that sounds?
I don't think it's a horror movie. I don't think it's supposed to be.
I don't think it's a horror movie either, and I wish it didn't think that it was or sell itself as that. This is from someone who didn't see the trailer. I just heard horror film, Neon's new horror film. So maybe that's my fault. Maybe I shouldn't have come in with that expectation. But it also kind of acts like it kind of wants to be a horror film. It's also a story about infection, which right now is something pretty scary, and they don't really do anything with that other than here's another skit with kind of funny punchline that also has just another theme of death with it. This was not for me. I don't know who it was for, but I'm not it.
I like that they don't explicitly say it's an infection. I do like that subtlety. I really wouldn't categorize this as a horror movie. This honestly seemed far more like a bit of an absurd comedy. And I really love absurdist humor. I really do. With Amy just suddenly thinking, what should I do if I die? Become a leather jacket? Cremated? And just the way some of the people talk to each other and how they bring it up, I honestly did enjoy. I did watch this movie twice before we recorded this, and I'm glad I did, because I actually liked it a little bit more upon the second watch. This movie is so not going to be for everybody, and I am well aware that as much praise as I'm going to heap onto it, but there's at least five things I can say that would deter you.
To go off what you were saying, for what genre this is, I think that it falls into art house that wants to be horror. I don't have a lot of things written down in my notes, but I did write down that the title appeared as a jump scare. And that comes across, at least to me, as a last-minute ditch effort to, like, throw in, like, some spooky things. I don't know which one of you guys said, but it does have this whole thing of, like, it feels like it wants to be a horror film. I think it's you, Adrian. Like, it really feels like that's the attitude that the movie had.
I would consider this, much like the director has called it, a dramedy thriller, is how she described it. Didn't mention horror.
That is actually fair. That's a pretty good script.
I understand totally that this is not going to be up everybody's alley, but I don't think it's formulaic. I don't think it's dull. I don't think it's borrowing from almost anyone. Like, almost everything I've seen in here I thought was startlingly original. But you know what? That's just my opinion. Obviously, I liked it better than you guys. So let's give you guys the chance to go first and talk about your final thoughts. Julian, give it to me. Both barrels.
I don't care what you think. If it's not ripping off Requiem for a Dream, someone playing a fucking record when you show things going into people's blood cells, I don't know what is. It could be one of those things I weren't thinking about. The point is, I thought this movie was trying. I didn't like it. Never will watch it again. I give it 4 flashing lights for no reason out of 10.
Adrian?
I really wanted to like this because this should appeal to everything that I'm into. In fact, the first time I watched it, I thought, well, there's no way it's the movie's fault. Clearly, I'm wrong. Let me watch it again. And I watched it the next day. And you know what? On the second viewing, I realized I just don't like this movie. I didn't find it clever. I didn't find it meditative or like it was exploring something that other films haven't done already in a better way. And unfortunately, it was sold to me as a horror film, and I didn't get that at all. I got some cool concepts that I wish it would have gone a different way. I wish they would have done more with it. I also just found it, like Julian stated, completely meandering. And man, at an hour and 30 minutes, I thought this could not be longer. I wish there was something here that I liked. I don't like the way it's filmed. I think the visual effects are almost annoying as opposed to stylistic. Don't dig it. Not for me. You're not going to dig it either. I'm giving this 1.5. Just go watch something else out of 5. Damn you, A24, for making horror like this.
Jordan?
I really liked it. I kind of really didn't at first. I was still processing it, but upon the second viewing, I came around to really digging it. Again, technically great film. It shot well, looks great, scored great, and I really did enjoy the absurdist comedy bend to it. And I honestly did really like this idea and its themes and how it goes about it. So I am going to recommend this, but it's not going to be highly. I'll give it 7.5 out of 10 sad pieces of birthday cake.
Very sad birthday cake. I obviously yes. really liked this a lot. I didn't grab me right off the bat. My first thought, and I looked back at my notes, was like, is she just doing a bad job acting, or is she supposed to be playing someone who's just pretending to be upset or trying to make herself upset? And I feel once I got to the end that that was sort of indicating that in some way she is the only real person in this entire affair. I like all the performances here overall. I found this quite funny, especially in the second half of it. There's a lot of stuff made me laugh out loud in here. But I think a lot of this is like being comfortable with where this movie is going and what its goals are. And I really was. I thought this was terrific. 90 minutes was the perfect length for me. I would definitely watch this again. In fact, I told my wife about it and was like, I got to make you watch this movie with me. Anyway, my wife might be dating again soon. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10. God, I, you know, usually think of something beforehand. I'm just going to say TV on the radio songs. This reminded me I need to go listen to again.
I should actually listen to them.
Oh, man, they're great. They had like a period around 10 years ago. Everyone's like, TV on the radio. They're great. I don't know what happened. Nobody's talking about
Let's
them.
Put them in everything. Let's put Wolf Like Me in every trailer and every show.
Yeah, right? It was, too. I think there are video games that played that song.